Good morning, everybody. Wow, it's Dave Weiner here. This is Morning Coffee Notes. It's been a while since we've done one of these driving morning coffee notes. I have absolutely no idea how this is going to turn out. I'm on, just got off Interstate 295. And getting on Interstate 95 in Richmond, right around Richmond, Virginia. And now I'm on a vector for Washington, D.C., actually. And spent the night at Williamsburg, Virginia. And if you read Scripting News, which is, of course, www.scripting.com, you'll know that there weren't any updates last night. And that isn't because, like, I didn't have anything to say, and it isn't because I didn't have any pictures, which I did, or movies, which I also did, or experiences that I wanted to relate, which I certainly did. But the problem was is that I was thwarted in every attempt to get onto the internet that I tried. And, I was staying at a Hampton Inn, and Hampton Inn is a pretty good choice for internet-aware travelers. I need to turn the music down. Hold on. That was, by the way, song I just can't get out of my head. It's called Sunshine Life for Me. Let me just start it again. What the hell? It's playing in the background, right? So this is, if you were driving with me, this is my story. I don't know how far it goes, but if you were driving with me, we would be talking, and in the background, yeah, there would be this song. Let's just hear just a minute of it or less. Get the idea. It's a great song. It was written by George Harrison, performed by Ringo Starr, with George Harrison singing backup vocals. And what's funny about it, I've listened to it about 8,000 times on this trip. I bought the CD, and what's interesting about it is that there's almost no drums on the song. And of course, Ringo was a drummer, or is a drummer. They get this really, really strong bass line in it, and guitar, probably an acoustic, what do I know, and a banjo. It's got a banjo thing in it, and whistling, and it's just a really hauntingly good song. I mean, you just listen to it over and over again. Anyway, so, you know, had I done a podcast last night, or had I done a blog post, it probably would have said all that. But what I really want to say is that here we are, it's 2005, right? And internet access for the traveler has improved a lot. And it may be to the point where, and I certainly thought this for a bit, that it may be to the point where the hotel companies may think that there's no opportunity to differentiate based on internet access. But that's simply not true. For one thing, it's time to go to the next level, all right? It's not just like a nice thing to have internet access at a hotel. For some people, and that's probably an increasingly large number of people, probably at some point not too far down the line, it's going to be like the same people who used to require that there be a phone in the room. We don't require that anymore because we all carry cell phones with us. I mean, imagine if you checked into a hotel and there was no cell phone coverage. I mean, that would be something that you would want to know, right? I mean, I'm sorry, you can't use the phone in this hotel. Or what if you checked into a hotel and the TV didn't work? Well, I can't recall actually ever checking into a hotel where the TV didn't work. And I've been checking into hotels for a long time. What about, let's get more extreme, what if you checked into a hotel and the shower didn't work? Or the electric light switch didn't work, or even one of the light bulbs was burned out. Just one. You know, there are five other light bulbs. you know, just go sleep on the other side of the bed and turn on the night light there, you know, your reading light or whatever, you know. Well, this isn't an inconvenience, and is not an inconvenience most of us, like, ever have to deal with. And if you ever stayed at a hotel where, like, any of these things were wrong, you would think there was something seriously wrong with the hotel. Or how about this? Go to a hotel and the air conditioning doesn't work. Boy, that's really something, especially in this day and age when, like, at most of the hotels you stay in, the windows don't even open. If the windows don't open, well, and the air conditioning doesn't work, well, you know. So how about this, the position, and run the ad campaign, because without the ad campaign, we're just simply not going to get the idea, and then you're just simply not going to be committed enough to it. Run the ad campaign and say, look, we understand how serious internet access is for you, and therefore what we're going to do is we're going to guarantee exit 104. Exit 104 has a Flying J. And a Flying J happens to have internet access, Flying J truck stop, and it happens to have internet access, and I happen to have an account there. So I'm going to be pulling off at exit 104, that's for sure, and that probably is coming up pretty soon. So we're going to need to wrap this up. It's going to be a really short morning coffee notes. Anyway, make the service guarantee and say, look, if you don't get internet access, not only do you stay for free, but you can stay for 5 nights at another one, any one of our other hotels for free. And by the way, we also, since we know that it costs you a lot not to have internet access, we know that you don't really ever want that guarantee to ever kick in. So what we've done is we put redundant internet pipes coming into this hotel, into every one of our hotels. And that way, we're really not very likely. It could happen, but we're not very likely to ever have it go down. And then go ahead and publish your stats on the on your website so that we can see. Not only that, how about like real-time readout of which of your hotels are actually up? And that way I can see in advance and give me the percentage uptime too. And by the way, get an independent agency to do that rating so that it isn't something that is subject to marketing. And then go the next step even and say, look, we really want to be your technology place because we understand that internet is just this year's like must-have feature for a hotel. The traveler is going to want all kinds of connectivity in the future, and we're going to make it our mission, in addition to providing you with great service and you know, all the things you've become accustomed to, a free breakfast, hey, maybe even throw in a glass of champagne, you know, at, you know, just before bed, you know, like on first class. Wouldn't that be nice? You know, knock on the door, sir, would you like a glass of champagne? I mean, I don't care about turning down the bed. I can do that for myself. But boy, it'd be nice to have, like, you know, the doctor tells you, or make it a glass of red wine, you know, and say, by the way, they tell us that, oh, this is exit 98, so I got 4 miles, 6 miles, actually, before my rest stop, before I get off. So you're going to get even more morning coffee notes. I've actually been drinking coffee, and God damn it, if it isn't morning, it's like 7:58 a.m. Eastern time, so, yep, it's morning, and we're coming up to this is exit 98, and there's a Denny's, a Subway, and a Burger King here. You know, that's another one, too, is that one of these chains, a gas, Exxon, Shell, Mobil, Denny's, and no, there aren't that many Denny's, McDonald's. You know, if McDonald's would just say every one of our McDonald's is Wi-Fi enabled, then, because you, like, you never see anybody in a McDonald's with a laptop, and you never see any signage that says, this is one of them. Or how about give me a guidebook that I can put in my suitcase that says, that has a map on it, shows me where the McDonald's are. Starbucks, you really would be nice if you produced a map that showed me the interstate highway system with little dots next to the places where there are Starbucks. And while we're at it, here's the ultimate outrage. Williamsburg has a Starbucks. So when I, the internet was down, by the way, at the Hampton, I don't know if I was clear about that. Didn't work. They said they were working on it. Never got it working. all day, all night. Never got it working. So I figure, okay, well, there's a Starbucks. Let's hop in the car and go to the Starbucks. Open up the computer, look for a wireless network. No wireless network. This is a Starbucks. So I go up to the counter. I said, your internet is down, right? And the guy says, no, we don't have that here. Oh, really? And I'm thinking to myself, this is the civilized world? This is 2005? Give me a goddamn break. I mean, I didn't say any of that. I had it on my face. But Williamsburg, I guess they must figure, well, you know, this is a tourist place, don't bring your computer, blah, 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 blah. Well, we debunked that one yesterday, the day before yesterday, because the Williamsburg Resort has podcasts so that you can, like, I don't know why. I mean, the podcasts, by the way, weren't all that great, but the idea was great. Some things to improve it. First of all, they say, well, this is not available anywhere else. Well, geez, that's really future-friendly. What if you find another method of distribution and all of a sudden you put a dated thing right up front and it's got the same intro on every one of them? And then, you know, so like if you listen to five in a row, you're going to hear it. I mean, I could tell you exactly what the intro is. Hi, my name is Lloyd Dobbins and I ask the questions. I don't really have any answers, I guess is what he's saying. And you know what, Lloyd Dobbins, former NBC news reporter, not a really good choice for a podcaster. I mean, you get the idea that this guy must have been fed all of his questions by some research assistant when he was the NBC reporter guy, because he asked stupid questions, like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, they get an A for effort, they get an A for the idea, they get an A++ for being early, all that, you know, thumbs up all the way, right? But in terms of holding my interest, in terms of being even dignified about the subject that they were covering, I think he trivialized it. He asked, you know, and then when he was interviewing Patrick Henry and Thomas Jefferson, and I don't remember the woman's name. She wasn't famous, but she sure was interesting. But he couldn't keep straight whether or not he was talking to the character they were playing or to the actor. And I would have preferred if he just picked one or the other, you know. And then, you know, most of the things he focused on was, like, the stupid questions people ask. Well, great. And, you know, what's the point? I mean, okay, people ask stupid questions. I'm glad you think that we're stupid. Now, I'd much prefer the Diane Rehm approach, which says, you know, my listeners are the smartest people in the world because they were smart enough to figure out that they need to listen to the Diane Rehm show. It says that, you know, basically she says, I'm good and you're good, you know, rather than, well, I make podcasts for really stupid people, or I make podcasts for smart people who want to hear how stupid everyone else is. Oh, come on. That's not what smart people do. Smart people want to have smart questions asked and hear some really interesting answers and learn something. Learn. That's why I like podcasts. I like it because there's a sliver of chance that I might actually learn something. Now, if you get TV actors to do your interviews, the chances of us actually learning anything are nil because that was never what they do. They're not like about that. That's not what they do, right? What they do is, I don't even know what they do. What do they do? Okay, here we're coming up to exit 104. So, hey, if they have the Wi-Fi, this is going to be like, wow, one of the quickest deliveries of a podcast from the road that you've ever heard. You know, and by the way, for people who are new to podcasting, who are relatively new to podcasting, or as a listener, podcatching actually would be the technical term. This was actually one of the earliest forms of podcasting. Last summer, I drove around the U.S., across Canada, and I did podcasts from the road, like I'm doing right now, and I had a much more elaborate setup then. I had a laptop sitting next to me, and, whatnot. I had to pull over to the side of the road in order to set the thing up and whatever. Today, don't tell anybody, but I actually, like, started the podcast while I was switching from one interstate to another. I mean, I have to press, like, about 5 little buttons to get this thing going, and, you know, and it's on a hope and a prayer, because sometimes it just decides to cut out. But, yeah, hey, it looks like it's actually recording. I won't stop recording, though, however, until, knock wood, until I arrive at the truck stop. So, and that's the Flying J, or sorry, it's a Flying J truck stop chain. And they do have a map, but they don't have a little booklet, unfortunately. And one of these guys, they probably do have a booklet. I just don't know where to go to get it. Anyway, what I'm going to do now is take my hands off the steering wheel. Let me just see which way do I need to go. I need to go left. Left is the way I need to go. Now I'm going to turn up the music, and whatever Ringo's singing, that's what you're going to hear.
Every planet in the sky is in your eyes, but I don't treat you like a, no, I don't treat you like a, no, I don't treat you like a.
Okay, everybody, I forgot to say, this is Morning Coffee Notes for July 5th, 2005. It's www.morningcoffeenotes.com, and my web blog is www.scripting.com. Hope you're all having a great July 5th, and we'll see you again real soon. Okay, bye.